At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Annie Moore about connections with the dad. When you're having an experience, like let's go back to the grocery store and there's information that someone wants to have passed to the other side. Is that message delivered to you by one of your guides, like as kind of the mediator between you and the spirit that wants to communicate? Or is it the spirit that wants to communicate that just gets a direct path to you through the guide?
It depends on the spirit, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it will be directly, and it's almost, it's so strange how it happens. There's like a multitude of ways. One way, I'll just hear it in my head, and it'll be a stranger's voice, and it'll be, tell them this. Other times, it'll be that I can see a full figure in front of me, and they're actually talking to me like I'm talking to you now. Other times it will be the fact that my guide is saying, I've got somebody with me and they want to tell this person this. So it is difficult to say which one it's going to be at one time. Other times it could be that I've just got an image in my head and I've got no physical manifestation in front of my eyes, if that makes sense. It's just a point of view in my head. Just like having that TV screen in your head, and it's a vision of a person that, and they tell me that what they need to be put over.
Very interesting. Let me ask you this: have you ever communicated with your guides or asked a guide the question of, okay, when I pass at some point, how does one become a guide? Like once you get to the other side, I guess, how does that become your role?
I'm very much in the camp of reincarnation.
Okay.
So that's the way I appreciate it, and it's that, you know, that I've probably lived like you, probably thousands of lives, and I've still not learnt all my lessons yet. There's no way that I've finished on this earth plane. You know, just mm-hmm. ask my ex-wife. I've got a lot to learn. So I think there's a process when I go, that I will be given the opportunity to live another life and learn those lessons and carry on. But eventually, I think, you know, as we reach a stage of enlightenment and we've kind of like dealt with all our issues that we've had to deal with over a multitude of lifetimes, then there may be an opportunity that I could become a guide or, you know, or whatever else job they've got set for me. I'm under no illusion that when I pass over, I think I've still got more work to do, to be honest.
It's almost like a ladder. Like once you've kind of reached the, okay, you've learned all your lessons, now you can be the guide if you want.
Yeah. Now, to me, that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Because you know, it's like when I do a reading for someone, when I read for someone, I will get either, like I said before, their relative or friend stood in front of me and they tell me things.
Yeah.
Or I will have that voice in my head that says this, this, and this. And sometimes they will actually give me images of my own life where I've made my mistakes or made my success. So if I'm giving somebody a reading and all of a sudden I'm taking back to the point where one of my children was born, I'll know instantly that that person is pregnant. If I'm taken back to that point where I got divorced, I know that their marriage is in trouble. So it's these kind of instances that in your life that you can relate to, that you can pass the message on. And that's why I always say to a lot of people, you know, you never go to an 18-year-old. They may be absolutely fantastic at communicating with spirits, but until you've had that life experience to actually pass on the message, you know, that, people need to heal. When you've dealt with death, when you've dealt with loss, when you've dealt with birth, when you've dealt with marriage problems and issues and all that life throws at you, then you can really put it in a way across to someone that's going to resonate and help them understand.
Perspective is really what it is. Having perspective. Go ahead.
And that's not me knocking any 18-year-old medium. That's fantastic.
No, it's just, it's no matter what, it's perspective. You wouldn't go to an 18-year-old doctor and say, I mean, unless it's Doogie Howser, MD, and we're walking back in 1988. But you wouldn't, because there's no experience there, and there's not many 18-year-old doctors. But you want to go to someone who's lived a little bit and can give perspective and insight on anything. Yeah. Tell me about this little girl that haunts your workplace.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a little bit of information about my workplace, because it's absolutely fascinating. Okay, so it's, like I say, it's 1930s Art Deco swimming pool. The land that it was built on was medieval, and it's now houses and the swimming pool and shops and everything around that area. But for hundreds of years, it was medieval farmland. There was actually a moated manor house that's long gone now, just about 5 minute walk from the actual swimming pool. In the 1930s, well, the foundation started to get laid in 1928. And as they were digging the foundations for the pool, they actually found a medieval plague pit, and they counted 300 plus bodies lay there. And it was just cheaper back in those days not to dig them up and give them a proper burial. It was just cheaper to concrete over the top. And those bodies are still down there now. So as we went, as it was built, the pool had two seasons, a winter and a summer season. The summer season was swimming. The winter season, they boarded the pool over, put a sprung maple dance floor there, and they had concerts and dances and boxing matches and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
So, the Beatles played there, The Who, The Kinks, The Rolling Stones, they all played there during the 60s. The American Air Force were actually based across the road as a supply base and a D-Day store area. So it's got such a fascinating history there. There's that many spirits, but Emily, who's the little girl, and she's actually 8 years old, she's her home, or her cottage, was where now the large pool is. And she died of consumption, what we know now as TB. And she's been there ever since she passed. And she's quite happy. She still sees it as her farmland and everything else. But she has such an interaction with people. So many staff have seen her. Public have seen her. It's just incredible, the number of people that have seen her, as well as the other spirits that are there as well. And we started doing investigations there about 20 years ago now. And because of my interest in it, I just knew this place was just phenomenal for an investigation. Now, as you go downstairs, there is a series of tunnels. It's like a massive labyrinth of tunnels, to be honest. They're all reinforced concrete. They were used as air raid shelters in the World War II, and there is a mortuary there as well. So we've done lots of ghost hunts there. We've done lots of crossover spirits. So what she actually said on that day way back all those years ago, it was actually true that we've helped a lot of spirits cross over, and she's always the one that leads us to those spirits that need crossing over. So in many ways, she's a little spirit helper too. So, yeah.
It's so fascinating to hear that this she's there, and we go back to what you were saying about what happened on that property though. I'm assuming there's more than her that's residing there. Is that accurate?
Oh yes, we've got. I mean, the tunnels are, there's one way into the tunnels and one way out. I've opened up on a morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. I've had to take workmen down the tunnels. Now, sometimes the tunnels flood and they've got, you know, puddles all over the place, and there's been barefoot footprints coming out of puddles. Now, nobody's been in that building for 8 hours, and the building is so hot, it's a swimming pool.
Yeah.
There's no way that, you know, we've got alarms down there, nothing's been triggered, yet there's these child footprints that come out of puddles. Workmen who've been working down in the tunnels have been pushed off ladders. One of them actually got bit. One's been scratched. I had a gentleman about 5 years ago got punched in the face and started to bleed from his mouth. And that's just because, you know, we don't know, but he was just laughing and joking that there was no such thing as a ghost. Half an hour later,
yeah,
he come up to the office, got a big bruise on his cheek, and all his mouth was covered in blood. And this was a big guy that refused to come back, you know, big burly workman, mm-hmm. you know. And I gave him a cup of tea, and he spills all the tea everywhere because he just couldn't hold it still. That's how bad it was. But I've also got the fire service that come and use the tunnels for training because they're ideal. They hide body bags around and they bring new recruits in with the breathing apparatus, turn all the lights off, and they go around trying to find the bodies. So these are professional people that come up to my office, and I've had station commanders and borough commanders come up and say, can you get downstairs, please? Because you've got a gang of kids running around and they won't listen to us. And I'm like, nah, there's no kids down there. There's never no kids down there.
Yeah.
You know, they can't believe it because they've seen stuff with their own eyes. We've got secret tunnels. We know that there was interrogations done down there. There is a nastier energy, and I wouldn't say this was ever a thing that had ever walked the earth in any way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's been seen a few times, interacted. He actually lifted a table on one occasion, threw it across the other side of the room in front of six women that were stood there. And it's not something I recommend to do, but they were kind of goading the spirit on. They were calling them all kinds of names and everything. And they accused him of having a really small personality, we'll put it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. At which point the table went flying across the room. They went running out. We didn't see them again for the rest of the investigation. So, yeah, it's a hotbed, really. There's a guy in my office every single morning smoking a cigar. Then he'll disappear throughout the day. People have seen so much. It's just, yeah, it's just a paranormal hotspot, really.
Yeah, I mean, very, very much so. I mean, that's got to be such a... Do your coworkers feel these sort of things as much as... I mean, maybe not as much as you, but are others who are not as sensitive as you aware of just how much is there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people have seen stuff they can't explain. Most of the staff have seen something, whether it's Emily or something else. Staff have gone chasing after a person that shouldn't be in a certain area because it's out of bounds to the public,
mm-hmm.
and it becomes to a dead end and there's nobody there. That's when it kind of freaks them out a little bit. We've been in meeting rooms and we've heard the squeaky wheel of a tea trolley with the rattle of cutlery on top,
mm-hmm.
and we've gone out and there's nobody there, but this sweet smell of like a lavender type perfume. There's a big viewing area, a big balcony that I've locked up on a night, and the staff have come and got me and said, you need to open that back up because there's some kids up there, we've just seen them. And I'm like, no, there's not. I've made sure it's all locked up, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But my there's actually a residential flat above the swimming pool. You know, it's part of the original features where the manager used to live many years ago. One of my good friends actually lives up there, and the activity that he has in his flat is off a scale, but he loves it, so he's quite happy. But his cat is always reacting to it. The two dogs that they've got is all reacting. So, yeah.
When was it that you first...
It's a strange place.
When was it that you first realized that your children have the ability that you do?
They started... my daughter was first. I mean, my daughter's 21 now. When she lived with me many years ago in our original marital home, she would always say, "Dad, there's a lady in my room." Mm-hmm. And I didn't want her to worry at the time, so I said, no, there's not. I knew that there was somebody there, and I would try and get her out and torture her and leave, but she wouldn't.
Yeah.
There was a residual male spirit on the stairs that they caught glimpses of walking up and down. As you know, there's no reaction to that. There's no interaction that we can do with a residual, mm-hmm. but they would see that kind of thing. And as she grew older and older, she would come and talk to me about it. I would kind of explain how to deal with it and, you know, how to tune in and tune out. And now she comes and investigates loads of different areas with me up and down the country. And my son Jack has just started to do the same as well. He's just jumped on it. And, I only wish I had the skills that he's got. You know, he's 17. If I had those skills at 17, it would have been incredible. Yeah, he's amazing.
When you realized that they had these abilities, what were you feeling? Was it something you were happy about? Was it something you're like, oh, gosh, they're in for a lot of stuff? You know, what were you feeling as a parent?
As a parent, I was happy, to be honest.
Yeah.
And that may sound strange, but I knew that they could come to me and talk to me and actually deal with the issues and the problems, and I could teach them properly in terms of grounding and protection and to have a normal life, that it's not all-encompassing. They haven't got to deal with spirit 24 hours a day. They can just have a normal life and enjoy life, and that they're not going mad, and they're absolutely sane and normal, and it's okay. And it also introduces an element of spirituality to them, that they see the world in a different way as well, that it's, you know, they see the good in people rather than seeing the bad in people, because they know that there's a spiritual element to life because of what they've seen and what they've experienced. So for me, that was a good thing, you know, not to actually start judging people, but to actually talk and communicate. And they've got so much confidence in the way that they interact and talk to people now. And, you know, I'm just really proud of them, the way they are and the way they've grown up through difficult circumstances, and that they're really well-rounded over it.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Andy Moore. A big thank you to him for joining us and sharing his stories on our program today. And thank you for supporting the show and keeping us on the air. We would not exist without you. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.